Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by
Catholic retailers, business owners, and ministry leaders. Don't miss the Catholic Marketing Network Momentum 2019 event. Attend seminars that teach how to apply best business practices to any kind of business or ministry. Experience one-of-a-kind networking opportunities and browse the trade show exhibit hall full of Catholic resources and gifts from all over the world. Visit CatholicMarketing.com trade show page to find out how you can be a part of this event that helps Catholics build personal and professional momentum. Celebrate our God-given freedom and faith while honoring our Blessed Mother with Ghirelli's USA Rosary. Each state is represented on this rosary's 50 beads. Red, white, and blue enamel adorn its patriotic crucifix. Get yours today. Shop www.ghirelli.com.
Hello, welcome to Know the Faith, Defend the Faith. My name is William Hemsworth, and I hope that everyone is having a fantastic day so far. This episode is brought to you by the Tucson Institute of Catholic Apologetics. That's the new apostolate that puts on this show. And today we're going to talk about something very important, divine revelation. So what is divine revelation? Of course, depending on which theological camp you ascribe to. If you're Protestant, you may say divine revelation is done through sola scriptura, or scripture alone. And of course, if you're Catholic, you say, no, that's not accurate. It's sacred scripture, sacred tradition. And so what we're going to do is talk about this topic today. And so in my years as a Protestant, this was a very passionate topic for me. Because it's how God reveals, it's a passionate topic of mine now, because it's how God reveals himself to mankind. Sola Scriptura was my battle cry for many years. And however, once I started reading the early church fathers, something hit me. These were not Protestant teachings. These teachings sounded very Catholic. And after further researching this, I found out that there was a piece of revelation I had ignored. But it was one that answered a lot of the questions that I had. And so what I want to do over this show is answer some of those questions that came about during my conversion into the Catholic Church. And I'm also going to look at, to do this, I'm going to look at the Vatican II document, Dei Verbum, because it answers some of those questions as well. So what is divine revelation? So through the mercy of God, God has decided to make his will known by various means. And this was necessary so that we could draw near to the Father through the Son, with the assistance of the Holy Spirit. Now, the pattern of revelation is contained in the deeds and works of God that match his words. And God backed up his words and put into motion his plan for salvation history. See, evidence of God is everywhere, and it's evident in all areas of creation, and it preserves all things. As a result, when Adam and Eve fell, it was then that God set forth a plan for redemption instead of destroying creation and starting over. When I think about that, I just think of what great love that God has for us. He initiated this plan through Abraham and fulfilled his promise of making Abraham a great nation. After Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he taught this nation through Moses and the prophets to recognize him as the only living and true God. And that's directly from Dei Verbum, paragraph 3. Through God's work, he taught Israel to look for the Messiah. As St. John put it in John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God sent his Son to tell the people about God's love and how he works. Through his Son, we're able to have life through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So obedience and faith should be our only real response to this revelation. It's through this faith that we give of ourselves. We submit ourselves to God and enter into relationship with him. We love him because he first loved us and gave himself for us. He paid a debt we did not owe because we owed a debt we could not pay, as Scott Hahn would say. This is done only by the grace of God and through the working of the Holy Spirit. Through the gifts of the Spirit, our understanding of this revelation grows stronger and is understood in a more profound way. Through the revelation of God, we see that God is manifested not only through sacred scripture, but also in nature. This is done through reason, because man knows deep within his soul that there is something out there greater than himself. Though he may not know it, it's ingrained in all of us to understand. And it's not something that's accidental. It's a teaching of the church. Again, quoting Dei Verbum, quote, "These things themselves are not beyond the grasp of human reason, can in the present condition of the human race be known to all with ease, with firm certainty, and without the contamination of error." And that's from paragraph 6. And so far I've discussed quite a bit about sacred scripture. And the church has taught from the beginning that the scriptures are the word of God. As the word of God, they're to be treated reverently, and with the tradition of the church, make up the full teaching of the apostles. The church has gone through great trial to deliver the proper scriptures to us. According to the Council of Trent, there are 46 books that make up the Old Testament. These books include Wisdom, Sirach, Tobit, Judith, and 1st and 2nd Maccabees, which are books that our Protestant brethren don't acknowledge. However, those are also books that were contained in the first listings canon in the Council of Rome in 393. All Christian churches are in agreement with the books of the New Testament, which are 27 in number. The Old Testament is a collection of writings that have narratives about the creation of the world, the fall, and prophecies about the Messiah. In it, we find a truth that becomes lost in some people's minds. As Dei Verbum states, in his great love, God intended the salvation of the entire human race. This was obviously plan B, because our first parents fell from grace. However, in preparation for the salvation of all, he chose a small nation. God entered into a covenant with Abraham and made a great nation that's as numerous as the stars in the sky. God revealed himself through words and deeds as the one true living God. God chose Israel as a type of a project, if you will, I'm not saying that lightheartedly, to show himself and to teach them by experience. In turn, Israel would use this experience to teach other nations about God. And the books of the Old Testament are vital to the revelation that God gave man. In the books, we have life lessons and stories of hope that are still valid today. Stories of hope and the patriarchs are great, but there's one theme that's overwhelming in the Old Testament. That theme is the coming of Christ. The prophecies start in Genesis 3:15, and the rest of the prophets carry on with it in preparation for the Son of God. He was revealed in signs, little by little, to prepare the hearts and minds of the people. And while some find it very startling to see stories of violence, these stories show the mercy of God. God had every right to terminate our existence, but the writings of the Old Testament show how merciful God is with humanity. The Old Testament is a vital part of the liturgy of the church and should be a vital part of our own individual Bible study. There's a tendency to only read the New Testament because some mistakenly think that it's the only part of Scripture that discusses Christ. Now, when we look closer at the Old Testament, we see that Christ is revealed throughout. The new is hidden in the old, and the old is fulfilled in the new, as St. Augustine would say. There are several places where a working knowledge of the Old Testament helps explain things in the New Testament. A good example of this is in the letter to the Hebrews, which discusses what the Hebrew priests do. Now, The New Testament contains autobiographies of our Lord, which we call the four Gospels, writings of apostolic origin, and, so the writings of Paul, etc., and a history of the early church, the book of Acts. In these writings, the saving power of God is also manifested. In the New Testament would be worthless without one thing, and that is Christ incarnated as the Word who dwelt among us. You see, the Son of God humbled himself, took on human form, and established the kingdom of God on earth, which is the church. He revealed himself and the Father by performing various works and deeds to establish and show who he was. His work on earth culminated in giving himself as the propitiation for the sins of all mankind. When he ascended to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit as a guide to teach the people through the church, through the ministry of the apostles. Christ alone has the words of eternal life. After all, it was he that said he's the way, the truth, and the life. The 27 books of the New Testament bear witness to this. From these 27 books, the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John hold a special place for us. It's in them that we find the words and teachings of our Lord. From the beginning, the church has maintained the apostolic origin of the four Gospels. Matthew was written by a tax collector. Mark written by Mark, who was dictated by St. Peter. Luke was written by St. Luke, who was a companion of St. Paul. And John by St. John, also known as the disciple that Jesus loved. The church has taught, in absolute terms, that the four Gospels historically and faithfully pass on what Jesus, the Son of God, while he lived among men and women, really did and taught for their salvation until he was taken up. And that's from Dei Verbum, paragraph 19. After the Lord ascended into heaven, the apostles spoke about what he did and said. The apostles were now blessed with the Holy Spirit and fully understood everything that the Lord had told them. Each of the Gospels is written in its own form and style. However, it's important to note that the message of Christ in the Gospels is absolute and the authentic message that Jesus presented. When Christ presented the apostles with the Great Commission, they had no intention of writing it down. However, later it became necessary to ensure that the truth about Jesus and his teaching were maintained within proper orthodoxy. Now, in addition to the Gospels, we have other books in the New Testament, such as the writings of St. Paul. These writings were also done under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. These writings can involve things such as Christian living, church order, and further clarification on the teachings of Christ. These writings are great. They're awesome. We should read them. And they further establish just what the Lord meant in certain areas. And they preach about the saving power of Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, as we look back on salvation history, we can clearly see the plan of God from the beginning. And when we look at our ancestors in faith, and the patriarchs of Israel, we remember that God is always in control and knew that we could only handle small amounts of his revelation at one time. Just as we need to prepare our souls to receive the Eucharist on Sunday, the souls of our ancestors needed to be prepared for the coming of Christ. This happens by God revealing himself in his creation. Then through the patriarchs and prophets of the Old Testament, and finally through Christ himself and the teaching of the apostles. The gift of sacred scripture and the sacred tradition handed on from the apostles equips us to understand the full revelation of God. This understanding should put us in a state of awe and render us speechless and maybe even teary-eyed in some cases. God has done amazing and great things for us. Let's study this revelation in sacred tradition and sacred scripture and go and do great things for him. Guys, thank you for joining me on this episode of Know the Faith, Defend the Faith. God bless you. Please check out the website at TucsonApologetics.org. Have a fantastic day. God bless you all.
Hello, this is International Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.